And we now have with us State Senator Tom Hawke of Manhattan. We welcome him today. I know a lot going on in Topeka. And, of course, we do want to mention the fact that school finance, it's been a little while now since we had the opinion from the Supreme Court, but maybe just some of your thoughts and any progression on that at this point, Tom.
Well, I think both the Democrats and the Republicans are taking the court's ruling very seriously. We both had caucuses yesterday with legislative staff and the lawyers' revisers to sort of give their interpretation and read about the opinion. I think what I got out of that was clearly the Supreme Court sided with the three-judge panel in the district court that our school finance block grant formula, they call it with an acronym CLASS. It's the Classroom Learning Assuring Student Success Act that we passed in 2015, where the governor suggested that we essentially freeze funding into a block grant. It's very clear that they see that as not adequate, and they sided very clearly with the district panel. And there's there are a couple other things that I think they said in their ruling, and particularly they looked at the data on how our students in poverty, our African-American students, our Latino students, were not succeeding at the level they should. So I think that's guidance for us when we rewrite the formula, and I think clearly what we must do is reinstitute the old formula or rewrite that formula with some tweaks that will address some of those children that are not succeeding well. And then it's kind of up to interpretation what the legislature will do in terms of how much money they'll put back into it. So it's I think the House is starting to work on that, and President Weigel has formed a subcommittee to address the school finance issue. So I'm encouraged that we're not letting that languish too long.
And I know, of course, you've been trying to work through some different tax measures and trying to figure out this budget still. And I know it's a never-ending subject matter for you all, but anything you want to add on that at this point, and any thoughts on how long it's going to take to figure this one out?
Well, I don't know whether it's, from my vantage point, I thought we were moving really well until the governor vetoed it. And now it seems to be, I don't know if it's watching paint dry or molasses, but I'm still optimistic that we're going to come up with the right kind of tax plan, but I think it's a much more difficult situation to do that. What I see the Republican leadership doing in the Senate, and we had a bill on that Tuesday, which was essentially the governor's tax plan, and it was an interesting procedural thing because one of our new senators divided the question, so he put it into about five different parts in the governor's tax plan. And there's a couple of things in there that are good policy positions. One of them that the governor basically stopped his glide path to zero by saying that rents and royalties, passive income, should be taxed. And then our debate was whether or not if you're going to tax income, should you not get to write off your losses, which has not been the case in the governor's tax plan that we've had since 2012. And so that was, but in the end, a procedural motion was made to strike the enactment clause in that bill, which, to my recollection, we've not done that as a way to kill a bill. So that was exciting from a legislative, maybe not for your listeners, but from my standpoint, I thought it was exciting to be able to see there are some different ways to skin a cat. And that, of course, passed 37-1, and only one Democrat voted for it because she believed that the policy position of stopping the march to zero is an important policy position. So her vote was not in favor of the governor's tax plan, but in favor of that one component of it. So the rest of it, the committees are working, and they say the House has teed up the bill the governor vetoed, and they said their engine's running over there. I visited yesterday with their tax chair, and they're ready to get back and either propose the same bill or a bill with some slight modification. So I think we'll be seeing a tax bill on the floor in both bodies next week.
I know some transportation matters of interest, even in the local area, if you don't mind sharing some on that.
We don't fight as much in transportation. I call it my kumbaya. Last year, my insurance and banking committee was kind of a kumbaya committee where we didn't do too much politicking in that at a partisan level where we had different views. We were always looking at good policy, and I think that's generally the case in our transportation. But this morning we had what I think is an important issue that we've addressed partially, and that's autistic children. And we had a group come up from Chanute, happened to be the young lady that presented as my niece. And she is trying to get a license plate. Costs about $20,000 to get a license, one of the particular license plates for your cause. And then if, as you sell those plates, that group can have the profits that come from selling those plates. So they think they might get some extra money to help down in Southeast Kansas with autistic children. So that was a fun hearing that we had on that bill, and certainly a good cause. The other bill that we're probably going to deal with either, well, today was our last day this week, but next week is increasing the axles on trucks, particularly farm trucks, but trucks that haul the trailers. Currently, if you're off interstate, you can carry 85,500 pounds in a trailer for largely our farm products, but other things. And they want to raise that to 90,000. And that's going to be a contentious debate in our transportation committee. We have most of the ag producers and suppliers would like to increase that weight, and they're willing to take the cost of adding that sixth axle, that additional axle on the trailer. So you have six axles in the tractor-trailer combo. But we're not sure if the bridges actually in Kansas are up to snuff in a lot of our rural areas to handle that extra weight. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes about.
I know, of course, the horrible wildfires that have been happening in much of the state and not hitting the Manhattan area, thank heavens. But I know that I'm sure a lot of your colleagues are suffering from that. And just any thoughts or comments that way, Senator?
We have a lot of discussion about that. I have to really compliment our State Forestry Service. Larry Biles has been working very hard with our foresters and our local and regional fire departments. It was last year we had the big fire down in South Central Kansas, and we had a problem with that because we don't have a compact agreement with other states. So when the fire gets to the Oklahoma border, in that case, we couldn't go over, or nor could they come over to help us. And so he's been working very hard to get a compact for our regional states, and we have a bill that passed the House. I think it passed 124-1. The only person who voted against it said he'd never, ever voted for a compact before, and that bill is going to come up next week in our Fed and State Committee here in the Senate, and I think it will go through without any problem, but it would allow us to share manpower and equipment between states, and how important it was for Larry to get on that after last year's file and have that bill ready. And I wish we'd have got it done earlier, but at least we have it, and I'm guessing it will fly through, or the winds of fire will push it through, and we'll have that and be better positioned as a state.
Real quickly, I know on Thursday, of course, there's been some speculation about the governor maybe going to Rome. And I don't know, that's not been confirmed. We're talking on a Thursday, let's face it. But, you know, any thoughts if he were to leave? And, of course, Jeff Collier would, I presume, take over. And would that, how much would that impact the legislature?
Well, I think there's always a transition. This would be the second time, if indeed this happens, and I'll speak a little bit about, I questioned one of the State House reporters about the validity of the rumors. This was not a press release from the governor's office that he was going. If you'll recall, when Sebelius was here, Governor Sebelius, she received a position as the head of HHS, and Governor Parkinson took over. And quite frankly, that moved very quickly, and I think it was without a hiccup. And I would predict the same thing. I've known Lieutenant Governor Collier, and I think he'll step into that position and do a fine job. I'm hoping that he doesn't find his veto pins as easily as the governor has found them on the tax bill. And I think I'm optimistic that maybe a change in the governor's office might have a little better cooperation between the executive and legislative branch to solve what I think is a huge structural problem in our tax structure and our budget structure. So,
well, before we wrap up, I think we've covered a lot of territory. Tom, anything else you're wanting to add for our listeners today?
Well, I think it's always an interesting time. I did want our listeners to know, while we're speaking right here, federal and state affairs is dealing with the immunity bill on firearms for counties and cities. Our county commissioner had brought that bill to me to get introduced, and they're working that bill now. And we did have an amendment that I think the NRA supports, and so I'm optimistic that bill will make it out of committee today. And so we'll see what happens. The other bills we've had that affect certainly Manhattan and K-State is the campus carry, and the other place it affects is unfairly, I think, is the University of Kansas Hospital. And so that bill, we don't know what might be going on, but I'm still optimistic that maybe we can bring some sanity, not change people's right for their Second Amendment to own and carry a firearm, but there are certain places where that's just not a good idea. And I think college campuses and hospitals certainly are two of the key places that we put into that bill 4 years ago, and I would like to see us maintain those exemptions. So we'll see what happens on that. I'm not ready to give up on that cause yet.
And we've been talking again today with State Senator Tom Hawk of Manhattan.